You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7, and we can be heard all over the world on the World Wide Web.
That's right. That's at 1510wwbc.com, and you also can download the app. It's a free download. Search for WWBC in either the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, Sita. And happy Monday, happy November 1st, and good afternoon to you.
You know what, Paul? Sometimes the good Lord works in mysterious ways.
Right.
You know, I find people to come on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends from all over the country, all over the world, all over the place. And today's no different. We have an action-packed show today. I have a guest who's calling in from Chicago. Her name is Dr. Cheryl Woodson. She's a triple board certified physician, triple, imagine that, who specialized in care of older adults and navigated her mother's 10-year journey with Alzheimer's disease. She is the author of a popular resource to survive caregiving, a daughter's experience, and a doctor's advice. We were supposed to have Dr. Scott Tilley from FIT, retired professor, but he called in today. He'll be here another time. But in their place, the good Lord sends two wonderful friends of mine, Eustace and Janice is here, and they are going to be talking in the second segment about Barbados. We're going to be talking about a big event that we're having. We're going to be celebrating Barbados Day. Is it the Independence Day, Eustace?
Independence Day.
So we have an action-packed show, and I'm so glad you guys are here in studio. Before we go to our guest on the radio, Mr. Eustace and Janice, I'd like for you guys to say hello to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eustace King. I represent the Brevard Caribbean American Sports and Cultural Association. It is so good to be here with Sita today to discuss an upcoming event we have in Palm Bay. We'll be on the 21st of November, but we'll be talking much more about that in a few minutes.
Hello, and I'm Janice Bisfam. I'm also here with Eustace, representing Bukaska, and a committee that we put together to bring Barbados Day to Palm Bay.
That's right, and we want to hear about Barbados, because most people know only about the great cricketer Gary Sobers when they talk about Barbados. So we're going to have you guys join into the conversation with Dr. Woodson as she navigates us to what she has done in her life as a physician and what she did for her mom. I spoke to her on Friday, and I could talk to her for hours. So, Doctor, I know you're on the phone. Thank you for taking the time to call in from the Windy City.
Well, thank you for having me, and it is definitely windy. It snowed yesterday.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have a retired Air Force Colonel,
Colonel
here with us, and we have a social worker. And when I showed them your bio, they were both like, wow, we're so happy to be on this, on today, so we could listen to this woman. So I'm just going to say, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got into medical school, wrote your books, and now you're doing what people tell us to do when we retire, right? You're giving back to your community and to the United States of America. So talk to us a little bit, Doctor.
Well, you know, I've never remembered a time when I didn't want to be a doctor. I mean, I was like three or something. And geriatrics happened because I knew three of my grandparents really well. So old people weren't scary. They protected you from your parents. And then I wanted to teach people how to respect older adults and how not to deny them care because of the day they came on the planet. So that's why I went into academic geriatrics. And I taught medical school for 10 years and then got tired of the politics and went into solo private practice and had a geriatrics and primary practice for 12 years. It was the best fun I ever had. And then I decided to, again, try to affect policy and went into medical administration in managed care to try to help people understand how to do this, that you can do well and do good. You know, it's not just about making money, but if you do it right, you can do okay. And then I retired and just started writing. My mother got sick when I was director of the fellowship program in geriatrics at the University of Chicago. And if that had happened earlier in my life, it would have derailed my career. So I think, as I said to you, Sita, God waited till I was ready for her and then came in my long suit. So I can't be anything but grateful about how that happened. And she gave me this book. The first edition of Survive Caregiving came out after she passed. And in the ensuing 20 years, it just got better with more interaction with caregivers and older adults. And so the second edition is out now with a companion book called The Doctor Is In, Answering Your Questions. Like, what do you do if mom gives all her money to Pookie and you don't have money to buy her medicine?
Yeah.
So it's very, very specific.
Well,
how do you decide if mom should live with you? So it's very specific.
Right. And, you know, we all watched so many loved ones passed away from COVID. And I know we had a lot of our Bokaska sisters and brothers that passed. And all over the world, you're hearing that people didn't have a will. People didn't tell their sisters and brothers or their children who gets what. And you're so right, because your that topic might be something that's involved with people who have dementia, because after they forget, you don't know what's going to happen. But you're right, because it causes a rift in families. Mm-hmm. Even when the person, whether it's COVID or dementia, whatever it is, I'm seeing, doctor, that you're absolutely correct. So what do you do if that happens, right? And your book addresses it.
We have an opportunity coming, because people are going to get together for Thanksgiving. And so the first time in 2 years, we may actually be able to be together. That is a time to talk about advanced directives, powers of attorney for healthcare. What do you want to do? How would you want your last days to go? And who would you want to take care of it? Because it's not about aging or illness. When you become an adult in the state that you live in Illinois, that age is 18. They think you're grown. That's when you do your power of attorney. It's about registering the vote. It's like adulting. You don't have to wait until it's all emotional charge because people think they're going to die. It's just something we do as a family. This is what our family does. And I think I told you that before my mother got sick, when she did her will and everything, she sat down with my brother and said, there will come a time when I may not be able to make decisions for myself, but I raised you. I know who you are, and no matter what I may say at the time, understand that I trust you.
And
the fact that she did that changed our lives. We were able to make those decisions. I had to have her car stolen because she wouldn't stop driving. But I didn't have to feel guilty about that because she told me that she trusted me before she got sick.
Well, we have a question for you from Mr. Eustace.
Doctor, we know that aging and dying are two of the absolutely most difficult questions
topics
to broach to our elderly family. I recall when my mom was still with us, on many occasions I would ask her, Mom, let's talk about the fact that you are getting on in years and we need to talk about health, we need to talk about survivability, we need to talk about all those things that will have to happen once you are no longer with us, bless your heart. So how do you even approach the topic?
You talk about it for yourself. You know, Mom, I just did my advanced directives because I don't want my kids to have to worry. Would you want me to worry? It's an ongoing conversation. You don't wait until you think something's about to happen. It needs to be something like, you know, what do you want to eat for dinner? What movie do you want to see? It has to be a regular conversation, and you're not going to get it all at the same time. You can point out the problems that their friends' children had. It's like, well, you wouldn't want that to happen to me. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about this now? And you don't want to do it that in any way that puts her in a lower position. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if you don't want me to be making this decision, you better tell me what you want, because I know you don't want me to do it. I mean, you want to give her power. give her power. And if you're doing it for yourself and you're talking to her about the decisions you've made for yourself, it's less threatening.
Right.
But and really, and your 18-year-olds, your 21-year-olds have to do a power of attorney.
So people shouldn't wait till they're older. People should start at 18. But you know,
doctor, and COVID has shown us.
That's right.
It wasn't just old people that died.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I'm seeing? I work, as I told you, for 33 years, I've worked in nursing facilities. And I've taken care of so many people with dementia. And what I see is a lot of caregivers have the guilt. They're guilty because they don't think they're doing a good job. They're guilty because they don't feel like the other sisters and brothers are pulling their weight. Why are the caregivers in so much turmoil? Why is there so much trouble when it comes to caring for mom and dad when dementia shows up or some sort of a disease that takes that person away and leaves the shell of a person?
I think the first problem is that folks don't know what they're doing and they're afraid they're not giving good care. And I have developed a concept called the level of care prescription. It's 10 questions you can ask your care team that helps you figure out what's wrong, why it's wrong, and what kind of care they need, for how long they're going to need that care, and more importantly, how much education does the caregiver need to have? Is it realistic to think that a daughter can do this, or do I need a registered nurse? And it's very specific. It's 10 questions that are outlined in the book to survive caregiving, and the doctor is in. And you ask your doc those 10 questions, and you figure out what exactly it points you right at the target of the care that you need. So you don't have to feel you're doing too little, and you don't have to do too much and impose on somebody who's really not that sick. The other problem with dementia is that people don't realize dementia is not normal aging. It's a disease, mm-hmm. and it is a terminal illness. People die of dementia, and folks don't understand that. And it's what I call living grief, because it takes them from you in little pieces, and your spirit reaches for a response you're going to get, and you never get it every single time. That's the kind of pain that nobody understands. And it's worse for people who are married to folks with dementia, because they lose things the rest of us never knew existed. We're not in that relationship. So there's a chapter in The Doctor Is In called Another Kind of Widow for those people. But in terms of your siblings, my tack on this is a little different from other people. The problem is not that your sister won't help you. The problem is that you keep expecting her to.
Yeah.
Ask for what you need. Find out what they will do. Don't tell people what they should do. Find out what they will do. And if they cannot do direct care, can they pick your kids up from school? Mm-hmm. Can they get the oil changed in your car?
I was just going to say to you, when my mother, my parents had 18 children, and uh-huh. my mother actually gave birth to 11. The others were my half-sisters and brothers. And when my uh-huh. mother got sick, we sat down as a family and we figured out, well, you have money, so you're going to send money for care, for paying for staff. You have bananas, you bring some boiled green bananas. Uh-huh. You know how uh-huh. to wash clothes and you have a good washing machine, you're taking clothes to wash. But we divided uh-huh. up the jobs and the tasks and we cared for our mother at home. But, I mean, we just did it because when we were little, we always remembered she taught us how to walk. She taught us how right. to talk. She changed our diapers. She fed us. And mm-hmm. when it was her turn, it was our time to take care of her. Mm-hmm. But I notice here in the United States, because people are working, because the culture is different, I don't know about this, Doc, but I've seen where grandchildren will come in to see that beautiful grandparent that took care of them when they were babies. And if that grandparent is soiled or dirty or something, they just hold their nose and they walk right away. And it bothers me that we live in a world where we're not teaching compassion and empathy. And of course, that's a different subject because it starts at the top yeah. from leadership.
Right.
But I feel like we've lost that touch of being kind and loving, not just to each other, but to our grandparents and parents as well.
So, doctor,
and to ourselves. And to ourselves. A lot of caregivers.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
A lot of caregivers. I had a 58-year-old caregiver drop dead and leave two 80-year-old people here. You know, we don't take care of ourselves, and you can't take care of them if you don't take care of yourself. But the thing with families is I'm glad your family was able to do that. In my experience, somebody can have 18 kids. There's only one or two doing the work. And what caregivers have to do is get help from where they can, not from where they want it. If your sister won't help you, next. You know, your church members, your coworkers, your neighbors, your Department on Aging, you can fight with your sister after your mom's gone. What you have to do right now is give the best care you can while you're taking care of her and yourself. God will take care of your sister because he don't like ugly. You know, you don't have to worry about that. Use your energy to take care of your senior and yourself. Don't worry about the people who won't help. Next. Just keep going.
Dr. Woodson.
Yes.
You hit on a number of subjects there, and one that I would like you to go back to at some point, and that's the husband or the wife of a person with dementia or Alzheimer's. But my question is, what is the difference between Alzheimer's disease and dementia?
Oh, thank you. That's my favorite question. I didn't pay her to ask me that. Dementia is an overall category of brain illnesses that rob memory and the ability to be independent. Alzheimer's is one type of dementia. It's like apples, oranges, and pears are all fruit. Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. There are many others. But they all come to common pathway in that they cause death. They are not curable, and they cause death, all of them. All the different types of dementia cause death. Alzheimer's is just one type.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think Mr. Eustace has a question for you, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, doctor. You know, I am thinking back my years in high school, my 6 years of post-high school education, and this is something we are all going to face as we age and as our parents age. But I do not recall one course in high school or one course in college, either undergraduate or graduate school, that teaches us some of the responsibilities of a caregiver. Now, what educational opportunities exist? And do you think that those that do exist are enough, or do we need more to teach our younger folks as they're aging how to take care of their parents?
Well, I think before we do that, we need to teach our younger people how to manage money.
Yeah.
How to be adult. You know, I think, and they don't teach civics in undergraduate education anymore. They don't teach how to write. I mean, we can talk about our educational deficits forever. But for people who are caregivers, first of all, a lot of people don't recognize that they are caregivers. But if you are doing something for somebody who cannot do it for themselves, no matter how often that happens, you're a caregiver. And people don't understand that. There are lots of information on the internet about caregiving. AARP has an amazing website for caregivers. And the Alzheimer's Association, the American Heart Association. So you can look at the websites of the illnesses you're dealing with, and most of them will have a caregiver section. I'm hoping that my two books will be helpful. I mean, To Survive Caregiving is a general overview of things that challenge all caregivers, and The Doctor is In is specific questions. But all of it is very practical. This is what you do. This is who you ask. This is what they can tell you, and this is what you do if you don't get those answers. I mean, it's very, very practical. But as I said, AARP and other organizations have lots of information online. There are caregiver support groups where you can learn from people who I call the care warriors. These are people who are seasoned, effective, successful caregivers who can help you figure out where you're going. And I have a chapter in The Doctor is In. I gave them their own chapter because the wisdom is just phenomenal. There are people out there who can walk you through this. You do not have to do this alone.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Dr. Cheryl Woodson, who is a triple board certified physician who specialized in the care of older adults and navigated her mother's 10-year journey with Alzheimer's disease. I just had another question on my phone that somebody sent and said, how do we know if our loved ones has dementia versus Alzheimer's? And I guess people are asking for the signs and symptoms because we're seeing young people with memory loss way earlier than before. I don't know if it's environment, if it's what we're eating, genetics, what it is, medication,
drug use and head injuries.
Yes.
But, again, dementia is the category. Alzheimer's is one type of dementia. So when people say, oh, the doctor just said it was dementia, thank God it's not Alzheimer's. No. Alzheimer's is a form of dementia. The first thing is this person not doing something that they used to do well? You know, I diagnosed my mother when she just wasn't the woman who raised me. She was driving, she was managing her money, but she and I had been at loggerheads since I was 16. The first time she asked permission to interfere in my life, I had her tested. Is this person different? Are they no longer baking as well as they did or playing bridge as well as they did? Are they not doing things as well as they used to? You don't have to wait until they don't remember their grandchildren. And you get them evaluated because there are some medical conditions that I call masqueraders, things that look like dementia that are not. Urinary tract infections in an older adult can cause memory loss. Depression can make it look like people have memory loss. And you want to know whether it's a masquerader that you can fix, or you want to know whether it actually is dementia, because dementia is a terminal illness. You do not want to label somebody with a terminal illness if it's something you can fix. And the only way you'll know that is to get the kind of medical evaluation that'll tell you the difference between dementia and the masqueraders.
Right.
Don't wait. I have five keys to caregiver survival, and the first one is don't put your head in the sand. If somebody thinks something is wrong, even if it's your nosy sister-in-law, get the medical evaluation because you don't want to wait.
Sometimes those nosy sister-in-laws can help because they notice everything. They do. And they say, you know, I notice she's cussing a lot more. Well, you know, some people go from being gentle to aggressive.
Sita, you just hit the nail on the head.
My mother
did exactly that.
Yeah, she went aggressive.
She never cursed, and she was this mild-mannered person, and all of a sudden she was very aggressive and very argumentative and derogatory to everybody. And it was like, what is going on with you? And we blew it. She was a teacher and still going, driving her car, like the doctor said. But it was like, ever so often she would manifest this different person. And this is amazing. I'm really enjoying this.
Yes, well, my mother, who went to Hindu temple all her life and never used the F word, when she got dementia, in the end, the last few years, she lived with my sister, Sarah, who is Muslim, and lives next door to a mosque that her husband built. And my mother got up every morning and used the F word against the people going to the mosque. And my poor sister had to, you know, ask the neighbors to forgive her. And then she got it into her head that the people were going there to drink rum. And, you know, and so she carried on. But, you know, the people loved her and they accepted that she had dementia and they knew who Nanny was. But, you know, yeah, you were telling us about the five keys to the survivor.
So you did number one.
Let's go to number two.
Don't put your head in the sand. The second is take the S off your chest to step away from the kryptonite. You don't have a super caregiver. You need help. You need help. The third one is don't ask, don't tell, don't work. I mean, you have to tell people that you need help. The fourth one is if you don't want to drive all the time, you have to take your hands off the steering wheel. Some caregivers don't let people help. Nobody can do it like I can.
Yeah, they want to be in control. Yeah.
Or they want to revise history. You know, they want to prove that they really were a good kid, you know. But many caregivers just don't let people help. And when they complain that nobody will help, I often ask, what did you say the last time they tried? You know, the fifth key is to do what flight attendants tell you to do in an emergency on an airplane. Put your mask on first. You cannot take care of them if you're sick. You have to take time to take care of yourself, which means getting the help you need so that you can go to the doctor, so that you can go to the movies, so that you can maintain your marriage and other relationships. You have to be able to take care of yourself because you're taking care of the money and the house and the food. You have to take care of the thing that makes all of that possible, and that is their caregiver. You have to take care of their caregiver.
Right, and you know, one of the questions that one of my friends told me to ask you today, and I hope we could get it in, she said that we work in the nursing facilities and sometimes the nursing staff, the activities staff, the social workers, the physicians, we can judge people, right? But not everyone had a great relationship with their loved one growing up or in adulthood. And we have found where a person would pass away and siblings are not talking to each other, or a child and a parent never forgave each other. Or you would find that people, when you call to say, we're just letting you know that your mother has taken a turn for the worse, on the other end, you'll hear a click. What can we tell our listeners that, you know, forgiveness is a powerful thing. And a lot of people should reach out to each other before that time come and maybe try to heal those wounds?
We talk about in the book, there's physical, financial, emotional, and spiritual health. And the spiritual health is about forgiveness, because forgiveness isn't about the person that hurt you. If you don't forgive, you're the one that gets hurt. And it really talks about the power of forgiveness and letting some stuff go. But it's also reality. My grandmother always said there's no should, there's only is. And there are some families that aren't going to be able to do that. And if you are in a family where there's so much division and strife and you're the caregiver, you pick your friends, your family's accidental.
Well, you are empowering us today, Doctor. You're giving us so many ideas, and I feel motivated and empowered in the studio today. You know, we sit here every Monday and we talk about kitchen table topics with my co-host and our guest in studio, and Paul runs aboard. But today's segment, it's just priceless, because so many people have questions about the aging process and dying. But I also find that taking care of a loved one, taking care of the elderly, taking care of our sisters and brothers, it could also be cultural. Some cultures love those multicultural families. They love having grandma home to give a kid a hug when he comes home from school, to cook that precious meal. Some people love having the extended family, and some people don't.
And there are also people who are orphans, you know, seniors who don't have anybody. And then it's your church community, your the people on the block. We have to watch out for each other. One of the first things God said about us in Genesis is we are not supposed to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone.
And Dr. Woodson?
We have to take care of each other.
Dr. Woodson, I have one last question for you real quickly. It's been an absolute pleasure listening to you today. You've been so informative. If someone wanted to reach out to you, how could they do so?
The best way is through my website, which is www.drcherylwoodson.com. But on November 3rd at 6 p.m. Central Time, I'm doing a Facebook Live. So please come and visit there. There'll be lots of information. On my website, you can download a bonus chapter called How to Live Out Loud and Age Excellently. There are all kinds of resources. But the best way to reach me is through the contact form in my website. And I hope you will visit me and join the Facebook Live and bring a glass of wine, because we're going to celebrate caregivers. November is National Caregiver Month.
Well, thank you, Dr. Cheryl Woodson. What an enlightening segment. We will be right back
thank
on
you
Viewpoint.
For having me.
You're welcome. We'll be right back on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends with our second segment. And we're going to hear all about Barbados, the rum, the dancing, the people, the culture, the work ethics. Everything about Barbados is great. We'll be right back.
Point with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC 1 FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7.
That's right. And 1510WWBC.com. And it's streaming, by the way, all over the world. I know you had some friends in Chicago who tuned into that last set. And also, you can download the app, too. That's WWBC, either in the Google Play Store or in the Apple App Store.
Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure.
And we are, you know, God always works in mysterious ways, right? And he sent these wonderful people to me today, Eustace and Janice. And I'm so grateful. We're Bokaska sisters and brothers, right? So for our listeners who are tuning in, we talked a little bit in the first segment about taking care of each other, taking care of the elderly, taking care of people who have been diagnosed with dementia and Alzheimer's. But for us who are immigrants, naturalized citizens of the United States that came here legally, we sure did, we know that we are blessed to live in this nation. And we see the strength when people come together. And we know that for us living in the United States, we give back as much as we can of ourselves, our work ethics, and our culture. And we give back our food, which is so important. Everybody likes to sit down, have a good meal, and chat. And Bokaska is no different. And I'll have my friend Eustace tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends a little bit about what Bokaska is and what we present day and night to people that we meet.
Yes, thank you, Sita. The Brevard Caribbean American Sports and Cultural Association, it is a charitable association located in the city of Palm Bay. And for 28 years, Bokaska has been a pillar of the community and sharing the culture of the Caribbean and with the citizenship of Brevard County. Some of the things we do on a regular basis, we are affiliated with several schools in Palm Bay where we have a cultural day and representatives of the Caribbean community go to those schools, Palm Bay High, Palm Bay Elementary, and we present an hour or so, maybe 2 hours if the time allots, to discuss with the students the culture of the Caribbean, and they love it. The students have been so appreciative of the opportunity to learn about the Caribbean, and they tell us. They tell us, the teachers tell us, the principals tell us, and it's something that we love to do.
And you gave back to the United States and that you are a veteran. So thank you for your service. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I came to the United States in 1975. After graduating high school, I went to undergraduate school in the city of New York. I came into the Air Force as an enlisted person. In 1978, I was commissioned into the officer corps in 1982. And I served for the next 25 years in the United States Air Force, having retired in 2000 as a lieutenant colonel. So that was extremely fortunate for me. I loved every minute of my service. The family enjoyed themselves, and when they were happy, I was happy.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's absolutely
that's true.
And happy kids.
Right. And Janice, you're here. And I hope I'm saying your last name correctly. Bisfarm?
Bisfam.
Okay. And you're a social worker. And like me, you're an immigrant, and we're all giving back. We're grateful. We're doing our best.
Yes, I am. And like Eustace, I spent some years, but not as a military person, but as a ex-military spouse. So thank you so much, Eustace, for all that you did for us.
Thank you.
And for the freedom that we have in this country. I am currently a dependency care manager for Family Allies here in Brevard County. And we're in the dependency system. We take care of the families that have had their children removed or families that have had some challenges and the children are home with them to ensure that the families become strong and are able to give good care and keep their children safe.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, that's universal, right? No matter where we live, like Dr. Martin Luther King said, you know, every child need basic human things, human rights we need, right? And we need clothing, and we need education. We need a safe place to live, mm-hmm. healthcare. No matter what the color of your skin is, your religion, your race, where you come from, everybody, those are the components that make us human beings, right?
Basic human rights.
And you're doing that, basic human rights.
And unfortunately, sometimes those of us that came out of functioning families or what we believe are functioning families think that everybody has that same upbringing or that everybody knows what it is to keep a child safe. And not all people know that because of something that disconnected or they weren't brought up in an intact family. And I feel the need to say this. An intact family does not necessarily mean it has to be a mother and father or two fathers or two mothers. An intact family just means an adult, somebody that's older, that's able to keep a child safe.
Right. And we saw that in the Caribbean a lot. So let's chat about Barbados Day in Palm Bay. We're going to be celebrating Barbados Day. But before I talk to you about that and you give us a date and the time and where to show up and park and COVID and all that, I want to tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends some fast facts about Barbados. The population is about 293,000. Mm-hmm. The capital is Bridgetown with 110 inhabitants. The government is a parliamentary democracy. Mm-hmm. Language is English. The literacy rate in Barbados, 99%. Like Trinidad and Tobago, is 99%. Yes. All of the Barbadians, or like we say, the Bajans, over the age of 15 can read and write, which is remarkable, mm-hmm. just wonderful. And the religion is 73% Christians, vast being Protestants. And the currency is one Barbados dollar is equal to 100 cents. I did my homework. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had to not just learn about Gary Sobers, but I learned a little more. So tell us a little bit about this event that's taking place on November 21st.
And before I do that, Sita, one other interesting factoid about Barbados. There are two countries in the world that have the highest number of per capita of centenarians. One is Japan. The other is Barbados.
Are you really? We need to find out what they're eating.
Grown food, as we say.
Yeah, provisions.
Provisions. Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Green fig.
That's right.
Yam.
And fish. From the ocean.
Yeah. And you know what it is? They don't rely on social media, and they don't rely on Uber, and they don't rely on vehicles. They walk. Mm-hmm. They exercise. They talk to each mm-hmm. other. Mm-hmm. Whereas in today's world, people live in beautiful houses behind gates. in nice neighborhoods and they don't know who lives next door.
And unfortunately, that's the centenarians and the older folks. Unfortunately in Barbados, because a lot of the younger folks are now looking at CNN and
westernized.
So they're now doing what we do up here, and they've become very sedentary. So now they're having a lot of the same ailments that we have in America, and they're not living the long lives like the people that are 100, and like my children's great-grandmother that lived to 104.
Wow.
And even though it has eroded somewhat over the last 15, 20, 25 years, in Barbados, there is still a very high respectability rate for your elders.
Exactly. Oh, we could do an entire show about
that. Tremendously high.
Yeah, I'm seeing people disrespecting the president of the United States for being a guy in his 70s. But guess what? A lot of the people in the 70s and 80s and 90s could run circles around them young people. Just because,
that they have.
When I was a child, you could not pass an elder on the street without saying good morning or good
evening. Same thing in Trinidad. You'll get beat up.
And then you go home and you get beat up again.
That's right. So tell us about Barbados' independence transition to the Republic, and then what's happening on November 21st.
So Barbados has been a constitutional monarchy for the last 55 years, though it has been independent. It is moving away from that to become a republic on its celebration of its 55th year of independence, which happens on 30 November 2021. And what that essentially means is from a constitutional monarchy to a republic, it's a simple fact that the British government is represented in Barbados by a governor general who is the head of state.
So no more after the 30th.
No more. The prime minister is the head of government, but the governor general is the head of state representing the Queen of England. That is going to go away on the 30th of November of this year.
Did they have a referendum, or how did that come about?
The referendum happened many, many years ago.
Okay.
It had been studied for over a decade, and the recommendation was made to the government that this is the way the country should proceed. There is still some misunderstanding, I believe, today by the younger folk who still want another referendum. But I think the government is pushing through with it for the 30th of November. So the governor general will go away. There will now be a president who will be the head of state. The prime minister remains the head of government.
And the prime minister will appoint the president, correct?
The current governor general is now our president elect.
Okay.
And she came into being through an election process within the parliament in Barbados, which is like the Senate and the
Congress. Yeah. So she'll stay. She'll stay
as an interim.
But we're having the event here on November 21st, and so tell us about the activities, what to expect, the parking. Should we bring money to buy food and clothing and partake with the vendors? Maybe Janice could tell us a little bit about the food, the drinks, and all that stuff. Kid games.
Okay, on Sunday, November the 21st, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., we'll be in Fred Poppy Park, Regional Park in Palm Bay. It's off Malabar Road. So if you're on 95, get off at Malabar, head west, and the park will be back there a couple of miles back on your right. On that day, we'll have vendors out there. It's a free event, so you don't have to pay to come in. But we'll have vendors out there. There'll be food. There'll be Bajan food, which is
fish.
Fish and kuku, which is the national dish of Barbados. It's a cornmeal and okra mix. And so there'll be fish. There'll be all different kind of foods. There'll be baked goods out there featuring stuff from Barbados, turnovers, currant slices,
sweet bread.
Yeah.
There'll be hot sauce out there. And I have to give a plug to this seat. I hope you don't mind. During COVID, my son came up with a pepper sauce. God blame a pepper sauce. And it comes in four different levels. So it's kind of hot. He'll be out there in the sweet and spicy booth with the lady that's doing the baked goods. And there'll be people out there selling flags and different craft things. There'll be activities for the children. There'll be an ice cream vendor out there. We'll be playing sports. There'll be a cricket match going on.
I was just going to say a cricket match on dominoes.
There'll be, of course, you know, guys, Caribbean people. We always have to have dominoes.
So your son is making the pepper sauce himself?
He makes the pepper sauce.
I have to get a bottle of pepper sauce.
It started during COVID. I don't know what happened, but no, he's the pepper sauce person. So he'll be out there. But like I said, there'll be things out, there'll be activities out there for everybody. There'll be a musical chair competition, and then of course we'd like to give the people a taste of Cropova, which is, for Trinidadians, it's carnival. We call it Cropova in Barbados, and Cropova is the first Monday in August. So we'll have a couple of people out there in costumes, and then we'll have a depiction of one of our national, it's, you know, coming back from Africa, a Mother Sally person that will be dancing out there. And so there'll be all, and parking will not be an issue at all, Sita.
Yeah.
You'll be in the park. It's a big regional park.
Admission is free.
Admission is free.
And the event is until 8 p.m. So for people who are working, they can still, you can still come late.
Exactly. Our official start, you know, it will start at 12. And then we have the Consul General of Barbados at Miami. He'll be coming up. And he'll be, and of course, some of the city officials from the city of Palm Bay will also be there. The deputy mayor and some of the commissioners will also
city manager will
be there. And safety is not an issue because it's well lit and it's in a good area.
Yes, it's a very popular park. Safety is definitely not an issue.
And I understand that a portion of the funds generated will be given to charity.
Yes ma'am.
We'll be donating to one of our domestic violence shelters that's in Palm Bay. And we felt as a committee and, you know, the whole membership of Bukaska that it's always important to give back, especially to your adopted country and to your adoptive home. So we'll be giving a donation of some of our receipts to Serene Harbor, which is a domestic violence.
Yeah, shelter. Because October was some domestic violence. But we all know people who've been affected.
Absolutely.
I know all of us do. So where exactly is Barbados on the map for the people who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends? We always hear about Jamaica. We hear about other places.
You actually have to enlarge your Google Maps in order to see the little dot.
It's smaller than Trinidad.
It is.
Excuse me.
But you know, Trinidad, they used to tease us and say it's a little tiny dot as well.
We are the full stop.
So you're the pinpoint.
Yes, ma'am.
So once,
I have to go there one day.
Once you've enlarged your Google Maps, you will see. But it is small in size, but it is a pillar of democracy in the Caribbean. It is the most easterly of all the Caribbean islands, just northeast of Trinidad and Tobago. Built right in the middle of the Caribbean Sea. Absolutely fantastic weather all year round. The world's most beautiful beaches. All folks are welcome to visit the island. We love to have you. We're probably the most gregarious people you'll ever want to meet. You'll have a tremendous time. You won't go hungry, and you'll leave absolutely satisfied.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're watching Wheel of Fortune, you always see somebody won a prize in Barbados, mm-hmm. right? Now, that's something Bukaska should do. We should plan a trip for all of us who wants to go for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come back Monday.
Sounds good. I've done that.
Because, you know, not a lot of us can take, you know, the whole week off. But if we go to a resort,
to the board of directors.
We should. You know, I think I would go. And because when we go to the islands, we all want to be safe, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to know who we're going with, who you're accompanied with, because that's the main thing with women, especially, right? You want to know. So this event is not only for Bajans. Trinis.
No, it's not. It's for Barbadians, friends of Barbadians, and friends of Barbadians. It is a family day, so everyone is invited. You don't have to be, again, from Barbados. You don't have to be from the Caribbean. Come out and enjoy a beautiful day of fun and activities for the entire family.
And I know you're going to have some calypso, and I know you're going to have
some soca.
Mm-hmm. And there are some people who like to come up from Miami or Fort Lauderdale or drive in from another state, but they don't want to go back and drive home in the dark. You know us Caribbean people.
Well, of course.
What did our parents tell you? When nothing good comes after dark, right?
Exactly.
So you want to bunk somewhere. You're partnering with a hotel.
Yes. Quality Inn in Palm Bay is the catering hotel for this event. And if you call in and use the code Barbados Independence Day Celebration, there'll be a nice discount for you. Not because we all know right now hotel rates are because everybody's outside again.
Yeah.
But the Quality Inn in Palm Bay will be the one to call.
Yeah, speaking about that.
Those rates apply, Cedar, to both Saturday and Sunday night. So if you wanted to come the Saturday, rest and relax and enjoy the festivities on Sunday, spend Sunday night and go back home Monday, the hotel will accommodate you at a very reasonable price.
Yeah, we should encourage our family and friends who are like in adjoining states close by to come down.
We've reached out to folks.
And now with COVID, I have to say I'm fully vaccinated and I'm boosted. I know that the outdoor events are safe.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel you're too close to someone, by all means, you can have that choice to wear your mask.
And we are asking that folks apply all COVID protocols. Even though it's an outdoor event, bring your mask, bring your hand sanitizers, and act responsibly. If there is a distancing issue and you feel compelled, just move away 6 feet. Do all those things that the CDC asks us to do to protect ourselves and others.
So what is it about us Caribbean people when we hit these shores in the United States, we enjoy working. We like to work. Like you said, we can't quit. What do you think happened to us that our work ethics are through the roof? Because we come here and we see people that complain, but we don't do it. And a lot of my friends say, well, you guys didn't come with the civil rights movements on your backs. But people who were born here, African Americans, minorities, they have that. But there's something sweet and special about Caribbean people. We enjoy sharing where we come from. Why do you think we do this?
Well, I think growing up in the Caribbean, I think many of the Caribbean islands do not have the geographical size to have a great deal of industry. That limited industry therefore limits job opportunity. There is that work ethic that you learn from a very, very young age in the Caribbean that you want to realize so that when we do have an opportunity to immigrate, we seize all of those opportunities that are available to us to make ourselves better, to make our communities better, to make our families better. And this, I think, is something that is ingrained in us from children growing up in the Caribbean, not only Barbados, not only Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
I think the entire Caribbean community.
Well, we were told if you didn't work, you don't eat.
That's right.
Huh, Rajanis, you're shaking your head, right?
That's
you
right.
Remember those days of you come home from school and they give you a brick and some cement and say, mix it up and bring it upstairs. Mm-hmm. We're building a house.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Or, you know, mother needs help with shelling peas. There was no talking back. Mm-hmm. And I, the older I get, the more I love our ancestors and where we came from. And thank you, God. I pay homage to them and I respect them because I feel like some of us didn't appreciate them back then.
And, you know,
you're shaking your head.
And our history, if we go back in history, our history is a little bit different than the history of people of color in
the United
America.
States.
Using Barbados, for instance, Barbados was the indoctrination station for the slaves being brought over from West Africa. They came to Barbados supposedly to break the spirit, but we know that really didn't happen. We just, you know, our ancestors just knew how to work and what to do, but we maintained a lot of our culture. And that, I think that's still a big part of us, even those of us like me that spent most of my years in America. Your parents made sure that all that was ingrained in you. And, you know, it's like I say to my children, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in the Crown Heights section in the big Jewish community. And I said Jewish children from the day they were born, they had the yarmulke placed on their head.
Yeah, so our parents gave us your identity.
So we have that same identity and that same culture that we hold on to, and thus Barbados Day. So we feel the need to always display our culture and share it with others.
Right. And I know you're shaking your head, Eustace. I mean, you know, we see a lot of young men nowadays don't have mentors. We see a lot of people having children and not sticking around. In the islands, it was not like that.
Mm-mm.
Men knew their responsibilities and women knew their responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And the children were first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you had to toil in the hot sun and cut sugar cane all day,
absolutely,
you took care of your kids.
Absolutely. And one of those things that you instilled in those children was the need for education. Every day, that will be reinforced into you as a child. Educate, educate, educate. All things good happen from that basic fundamental educational need.
That's right. Educate and act upon it.
Absolutely.
Discipline. You know, good governance comes from good discipline. Mm-hmm. Good leadership mm-hmm. comes mm-hmm. from respect. Mm-hmm. So tell us the date and the time, Mr. Eustace, one more time for Barbados Day and where people could meet us, the address.
On 21 November from 8 to 12 at Fred Poppy Regional Park in Palm Bay. If you're taking Highway 95, you exit at Malabar Road. You head west on Malabar Road for about 2 miles, and you cannot miss the sign that says Fred Poppy Regional Park.
It's Barbados is a small island, but it's a mighty island.
It's a powerhouse.
It is, and a lot of people know Barbados from the superstar Rihanna, mm-hmm, and she's mm-hmm. got a mansion down there. Mm-hmm. And when we go on our 3-day, we're going to visit. We find ourselves over there with some Bajan food.
And she, and Rihanna has just become Barbados's first billionaire.
You know, I could see her running that country because people look up to her, and she creates jobs.
But you know what? I think Riri, as we refer to her lovingly, I think she knows, for lack of a better term, her place, and she knows it's not to be in politics in Barbados. It's to do what she's doing now.
That's right. Back. Yeah, and you know, one thing about her, too, she never forgot where she came from.
She always gives back.
I look at the soca artists as well, Calypso Rose and all of them, mm-hmm. and they don't forget their Trini roots, their Bajan mm-hmm. roots. Even Bob Marley's children didn't mm-hmm. forget their roots. And I love that about us. And I think there's something about people from the Caribbean. We love who we are. And we want to share our
Absolutely.
Culture.
Absolutely.
So with that, Paul, we will be back, right? We'll be here, right, on Monday, next Monday. With two new guests, and for all those who tuned into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, thank you, and I thank our guests for calling in from Chicago, Illinois. We'll be here next Monday. Bye.